Hey, what's up, guys? You're now listening to Devo with Uncle Theo. Today is day 115, and we're going to cover 1 Kings chapters 10 through 11. We looked at Solomon dedicating the temple, but we started to see these red flags. We saw that Solomon had married an Egyptian woman. He spent almost double on his own house than on the Lord's temple. We saw that he was multiplying horses, and we started to see that he was multiplying gold, even to the point that he was selling off the promised land. The only thing left is the women, and we'll get to that today. But before we do, let's pick up with chapter 10, and it's going to bring up the Queen of Sheba. Now, most of you all may be familiar with her because she comes back up in the New Testament where Jesus talks about her. But let's hear this story. It says in verse 1, "Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report, which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, a half was not told to me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord, your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness.' She gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in that which the king of Sheba gave to Solomon." And so there you have it. That's what it's all about. Israel's purpose was to create an international impact. They were supposed to be a witnessing nation. God came to Israel and he came to save them and to make them his people in order to draw other people through them. It wasn't just about Israel. It was about the foreigner. That's why God wanted Israel holy. And that's why he gave Israel his presence, because through them, they were to be his agency to reach the nations. And we also see through Queen Sheba that the building of the temple communicated what it was trying to communicate effectively. It worked. It showed that the God of Israel was the Most High God. And it showed, even she said, "Blessed be the Lord, your God, who delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." And she gets it. And the rest of the chapter just details Solomon's wealth, his splendor, his wisdom. It talks about all of the gold that he has. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having gold. It's multiplying it and how you multiply it. So the text will never say having horses or gold is wrong or even a wife. It's just how you go about getting it and how you multiply it. Remember, just like with David, there's nothing wrong with having a big army. But remember, David wanted to number his army. He wanted to take a census, and his motives were off. He wanted to do that for an ill-advised reason. And that's what's happening with Solomon. But we see, verse 23, "King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. They brought every man his gifts, articles of silver and gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses, and mules, so much year by year." But we enter chapter 11. Listen to this. Verse 1. "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, the Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord has said, 'The sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away.' Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. For when Solomon was old, His wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. You hear that? For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully, as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on a mountain which was east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. Thus also he did for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. And that's it. You don't hear Solomon left the Lord because he wasn't listening to his wisdom anymore or being wise. It goes back to what I said in chapter 3. The wisdom came because he had a listening heart. And look at what he gives up. When he follows after the foreign women, it says it clearly. It says it here. For the wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. And so he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully. And it wasn't wisdom that Solomon got from the Lord. It was a listening heart, but it wasn't a foolproof listening heart, meaning that it could never be taken away. Solomon had to do his part as well in drawing near to God, and God would draw near to him. He had to do his part at sitting at the feet of God and listening to his commandments and testimonies and following him with his whole heart. That's how he had access to the wisdom. The minute he stopped doing that is the minute that Yahweh would depart from him, which is typical for Old Testament language, where you receive the Spirit with him coming upon you as opposed to him sealing you and indwelling you. And so Solomon has that. And the takeaway for us is not just to pursue wisdom so that we can be wise for the Lord, but to pursue a listening heart that would not only give us wisdom, it would give us relationship. It would give us his presence, and it would give us an intimacy with him where that wisdom that we received from him would be in the context of relationship, and it wouldn't be rote or mechanical like most people receive their wisdom to get results. This is not just a result-based wisdom. This is a relationship-based wisdom. And Solomon had that with his listening heart. And as you can see, now he's gotten a third G. We've seen gold, we've seen Giddyup, and now we see the gals, chapter 11. And this is Solomon's downfall. And I want you to see what happens because of this. Verse 9, now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you. This sets the stage for the rest of the Old Testament. I will surely tear the kingdom from you, and I will give it to your servant. So now the kingdom is about to be torn now. Remember, it started with David. He said the sword would not depart from his house. Now with his son Solomon, it is stated that now that sword will cut, it will tear the kingdom, and it's going to separate the tribes and create two nations, which one will be known by the nation of Judah and the other will be known by Israel, the name that we've been going by. And so don't let that confuse you. The word Israel represents the entire nation, but now Israel will represent a part as well. It's like the word law could represent the whole Old Testament, or the word law could represent the first five books of the Bible. And so you will have to make that distinction in your mind when you hear the word Israel from here on out, whether it's talking about the nation as a whole or the 10 tribes that were cut from the nation. And we're about to see that servant very shortly in the next chapter. But he says, nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. And so his son is going to be named Rehoboam, and his servant is going to be named Jeroboam. So memorize those two names, because that's where the split starts. And we'll have to start keeping a ledger and an account of all of the kings from there on out. And in verse 13, it says, however, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David. That's Judah. That's Rehoboam. And remember, David would never lose his tribe because the Davidic covenant says that his name will be established forever. And Christ comes through that line, the Davidic covenant. But we have a split here with Jeroboam, which are the northern tribes. And so now because of this, God starts to raise up adversaries against Solomon. And look at this, verse 14. Then the Lord raised up an adversary to Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the royal line of Edom. For it came about when David was in Edom, and Joab, the commander of the army, had gone to bury the slain and had struck down every male in Edom. For Joab and all Israel stayed there 6 months until they had cut off every male from Edom, that Hadad fled to Egypt, he and certain Edomites of his father's servant with them. While Hadad was a young boy, they arose from Midian and came to Paran and took men with them to Paran and came to Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house and assigned him food and gave him land. Now Hadad found great favor before Pharaoh, so that he gave him in marriage the sister of his own wife. See that? Who did Solomon marry to not create a sandwich and to be politically expedient? Pharaoh's daughter. What did God just do? Ironic retaliation. God just shows you there was a man who fled amongst the Edomites named Hadad, and he finds favor with the Pharaoh of Egypt. And so it shows you Solomon's scheme does not work. It's ironic retaliation. And this is why I had been telling you that, see, what sounds politically expedient, it looks good on paper and it looks good from the world's perspective, but it's not theologically expedient because God can change all of this in a split second. But God promises that there will still be one tribe, but now he starts to execute judgment. And we have to look at verse 26. Then Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zeradah, Solomon's servant, whose mother Zeruah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. Now, this was the reason why he rebelled against the king. Solomon built the Milo and closed up the breach of the city of his father's David. Now, the man Jeroboam was a valiant warrior. And when Solomon saw that the young man was industrious, he appointed him over all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. It came about at that time when Jeroboam went out to Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him on the road. Then Ahijah had clothed himself with a new cloak, and both of them were alone in the field. And Ahijah took hold of the new cloak, which was on him, and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces. You see that? That's 10 tribes of the nation of Israel. And thus say to the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give you 10 tribes. But he shall have the one for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, because he had went after false gods. And that's the prophecy that tears it all. We had just heard it before. Now we're hearing it again, and this is how the chapter ends. So, verse 39, thus I will afflict the descendants of David for this, but not always. You hear that? But not always. God is going to relent. And Solomon sought, therefore, to put Jeroboam to death, but Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt, and he was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. And Solomon dies. This is verse 41. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, and whatever he did, his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? Thus the time that Solomon reigned in Israel and all over Israel was how long? Guess it. That's right. 40 years. 40. Remember, Saul, David, and Solomon reigns for 40 years each. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of his father David. And his son Rehoboam reigned in his place. Now, we got another king that's reigning, but he's about to reign over a divided nation. Now we're about to see the battle and the struggle between Rehoboam and Jeroboam and see how they both take power. And we'll catch that next time. Let's continue to work through these books together. And you always seek to have a listening heart and never go after any idol. Yours may not be women, but you got one. Make sure you forsake it daily to pursue God and have a listening heart. You guys, take care. Talk to you next time. Hey.